Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, it's such a privilege to be here. This was my home and still is my home, spiritual home. For 14 years, God brought me here from London around mid-2004. And then in 2015, we got launched into Dublin also on a mission trip. That was an experience, amen, and it was an experience for God to grow us. And then we came back for a little while, my wife and I, and then at that time we only had, we never had any children at that stage. And then Aaron was born, and then we got sent to Amsterdam. And then from Amsterdam, we'd now been launched into Frankfurt, Germany. And, you know, I just see God doing great things all over the world. But I never forget home. And home is not where you're from, it's where your heart is. And my heart is here in Manchester. I've always been here in Manchester. There's so many special people. I could go around the room and name everybody in the room, the people that I know who's really impacted their lives. And one of the things that Zoe and myself, we were talking about coming back here was we were excited to see Pastor, but we see Pastor pretty regular. You know, we see him because we get the privilege sometimes to be in some meetings with them there in the States and different things. But we were excited to come back and see the people. We miss the people. We miss you. Sister Elaine, we miss you. We miss you. Curtis, you know, I was driving through Germany the other day and we drove past the Haribo factory. And we thought about Curtis straight away, you know, because you guys are always close to our hearts. And we just want to let you know that wherever we travel, wherever we go, we always speak of Manchester. We always speak of this as being our spiritual home. But like Pastor Paul said, I don't have very long this morning. So let me just open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the awesome privilege to be, Lord, with you. Lord, first and foremost, your word tells us that we are called to be with you. Lord, we're called to fellowship with you, spend time with you. So Lord, we thank you that you are here. And precious Holy Spirit, we ask that as I speak, that you would move around this room and you would stir up the desires in our hearts, stir up the calling within our heart, stir up, Lord, the passion for souls within our heart. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for this amazing ministry. Thank you for what you're doing, God, all over the world, but thank you for what you're doing here in the UK and Germany region. We thank you that this is a ministry and a church of expansion and growth. We thank you, Lord, that this is a ministry with a vision to reach, Lord, and impact the inner cities of the world. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Special shout out to Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. Man, Pastor, you guys are amazing. I'm trying to think of the word to say there, but you guys really are like just the best. You know, we couldn't be where we are without you, you know, and over the years you've backed us up, you've sent us out, you've licensed, you've been there all the way along our journey. And we just want to honor you today as an amazing man of God, as an amazing father, as an amazing role model. And if Sister Vicky was here, we'd say the same about her, and I know she'll maybe be watching. And Sister Vicky, if you're watching, you know, maybe you're in bed right now, but we love you and we thank you. You're an amazing role model for us as parents. And we just want to honor you today, Pastor. We love you. Amen. So, today is United We Can Day. It's a very special day in the calendar of Victory Outreach. And God is doing great things all over the world, and not only just in the UK and Germany, but God is doing great things all over the world. As we get to spend some time, we see that God is moving in Panama and God is moving in Mexico. And we see for a long time, we see that the focus has always been upon South Africa. And the focus was being on that part of the world. But just lately, in the last couple of years, we see that there's a stirring and there's a changing and that the focus is beginning to come back upon Europe again. That the focus, the cloud has shifted, as Pastor said to Pastor Chucky in one meeting we held in Mighty Men of Valor, that the cloud has shifted from South Africa. The cloud of God's blessing and God's favor and God's provision has shifted from South Africa, and it's here, it lies above us right now in Europe. And we stand at a precious time in God's kingdom and God's plan that we believe that this isn't just something that's happening by chance, but the timing and the planning and everything that's been prepared, not only for Scotland, but for Birmingham and for Liverpool and for Dublin when it comes back, we believe that it's God's timing. And it's such a privilege to be part of this movement, man. And when I was thinking about, God, what do you want me to speak? Because I'm an emotional kind of guy, and I don't want to come up here and just babble and cry. Amen. I've done that before you probably many times. In fact, I think I've been launched out of here twice. And I think every time I've cried on the stage. Because like Jason said, this is a special place. This is family. This is home. And not all of us came here to answer the call. Many of us came here to go university, or just came here just to get off drugs in the home or something. But when you get here, you sense that there's a sense of family and belonging and destiny and dignity. You sense that God has a purpose and a plan and a promise for your life. When you step through the doors, you begin to sense the presence of God through the worship and through the preaching and through the teaching and through the obedience to the word of God and through the exampleship of the leaders and the standard of the quality of the ministry. You begin to see that God is doing something special here. So it's an honor to be back today. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to speak very briefly on the call. On the call. Have you ever received a phone call, or have you ever received a call that's literally changed your life? Have you received a call maybe of good news that's changed your life? You've maybe received a call of bad news that's changed your life. You maybe received a call of a promotion or a job at work or something you've been praying for. Or maybe you've received a call that somebody's in help and somebody needs your assistance. But whatever the type of call that it is, sometimes there's a call that comes that literally changes your life. I was thinking of the movie Taken. Has anybody seen Taken? Amen. The phone call is legendary in Taken. The girl calls her dad and says, "Dad, my friend is being kidnapped. She's been taken. I can see her. These bad men, and they're grabbing her right now, and they're taking her." Liam Neeson, as cool as you like, on the other phone. I was going to try and do an Irish accent, but I'll leave it for now. Amen. I'll leave that to my Irish brother in the home. But the call goes something like this. He goes, "Dad, they're taking my friend. They're taking my friend." And instead of Liam Neeson saying, like, "Run, jump out of a window or something," he said, "Listen, stay calm. They're going to take you." He's like, "Wow, no way, man." He's like, "Get under the bed." Man, I'd be looking for an escape at the window or something. But he says, "Hey, get under the bed." But this is the legendary part. When they take her, he talks to the person on the phone. And he said, "I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. But I'm going to tell you this." Does that sound Irish? Sounds quite gruffly, or quite rustly. He said, "I have a very particular set of skills. And if you give my daughter back, I'll leave it at that. He said, but if you don't, I'll hunt you. And when I find you, I'll kill you." See, that phone call changed his life. And it set into motion a desire and a hunger to receive and obtain the thing that happened on the phone call. I've received many calls from the Lord. But the first call we receive is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. And it's a call to fellowship with Jesus. That's the most important call that we can receive, is the call to salvation. It is a call to be with the Lord, to spend time with Jesus, to fellowship, to be in prayer, to spend time with the Lord. The second call also is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but it's in verse number 2. And that is the call to sanctification and the call to holiness. And that call, the second call, is second in place, because that can only happen when you spend time with Jesus. Because you can never become holy, you never become sanctified if you've not spent time with the Lord. Because it's when you spend time with Jesus that you find out how dirty and how and how messed up you really are. So when we spend time with Jesus and we fellowship with him, the second place is the call is to holiness and to sanctification. But I believe that the third call is a call to service. The call to serve, the call to service, the call to action. The call not only just to be a seat filler, but to be a street killer. To be out there on the streets and killing demons and filling the seats. There's an unmistakable conviction that comes upon someone who's been called. The definition of a call is an unmistakable conviction an individual possesses that God wants them to do a specific task. An unmistakable conviction. You know that God has called you to do something special. And that no matter what you try and do, no matter if you try and outrun it, outfly away, you can run away to the other end of the world, but there's a calling upon your life. You can't run, you can't hide, you can't even hide from Liam Neeson. Hello, somebody. You can't hide from God. There's a man called John Ryle, a 19th century bishop of Liverpool, and he spoke about the calling of God. He said, I felt like something shot up in my bones. He said, I saw no other way to live apart from answer the call. And otherwise, what he said was, when the call of God came upon my life, there was nothing else that could satisfy me. There was nothing else that I could do. There was nowhere else that I could go. There was nothing else that I could put my hands to that would satisfy me, like answering the call of God upon my life. I think of my wife. She was standing here, and I'm thinking how beautiful she looks, how amazing she looks, how wonderful she is as a mother, as a wife. How passionate she is, how good a preacher she is, how an amazing missionary she is. And when I was thinking about the calling of God, it was the calling of God that brought us together. We got to know each other because we had a similar passion for Scotland. We got to know each other in 2012 in Amsterdam European Convention. And we got connected and we were talking about the call of God. We would message on Facebook because at that time there was something beginning to stir in Scotland. And we got connected through the call of God. We began to speak and we began to love and we began to talk about Scotland and talk about the mission. And something within us began to bond and begin to gel and begin to come together in the spirit. And before you know it, the call of God brought us together, and the call of God brought us into marriage, and the call of God brought us together with children. And now the call of God is going to send us forward into Scotland, because God's plan and God's call upon our life, man, it is so precious and it is so true. But this is something I just want to throw in there for free. I believe maybe there's people in here this morning, and maybe you don't understand the call, or you don't recognize the call. Or you say, well, God's not spoken to me, or God's not given me a specific task. I want to encourage you this morning to spend time with God and to really fellowship with Him and to really ask Him and seek Him. Because whatever it is that's on your heart, whatever it is that makes you passionate, if it's passionate about reaching souls, if it's passionate about worship, if it's passionate about media, whatever it is that God has placed upon your heart, your calling of life somewhere near there. Maybe some of the reasons why, maybe there's some of us that are single in here. And maybe you know, we're waiting for that perfect partner, or we're waiting for the door to open for that perfect person. I want to just encourage you this morning, don't wait for that perfect person to start walking in your calling. And don't wait for that perfect person to, then you'll start walking, then you'll start calling, then you'll start going. Listen, the calling, when you start to operate in the calling and operate in the vision of your calling and operate in the anointing of your calling, listen, your partner will come along. I remember James Aladarin spoke a word in this church one time, and he was talking about single people, and he said, listen, if you're single, he said, run as hard after God as you can. Run as fast after God as you can. Go to the mission field. Go to the places. Go hard after God. Go fast after God. Go pure after God. And when you're there at the fastest place and the most, they say, look around. And he says, when you look around, you'll see somebody. He said, that's the type of person you want to go for. Don't wait for the right man or the right woman to begin to start operating in your calling, because I believe that when you start to operate in your calling, the right man and the right woman, God will bring along in their place. And God always brings provision for the vision. That if we have no vision, there'll be no provision. Listen, if you're standing at the side of the road and a bus comes along and the bus has no destination on it, you're not going to get on board. Because it doesn't know where it's going. But when you know where you're going, when you know your destination, When there's a city on your heart, or a nation on your heart, or a ministry on your heart, or something on your heart, when there's a destination on your life, then people will get on board. Do you have a vision? Do you know where God's taking you? Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Well, let me just explain very quickly. The biblical call was generally a dialogue between God, maybe God's agent, i.e. another human, or even an angel, between you and God. We see that Moses sees the burning bush and hears the voice of God calling him to deliver the Israelites. We see that Sarah was called to be the mother of nations in Genesis 17, verse 16. We see that Ezekiel's detailed call covers two or three different chapters in the book of Ezekiel, and it changes from vision and dialogue, visions and conversations with God. We see that an angel appeared to the Virgin Mary and begins with the words, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You see, the calling of God comes in many different ways, but very briefly, very, very briefly, if we can just open up in Nehemiah chapter 1. In Nehemiah chapter 1, I want to just speak to us on Nehemiah chapter 1 right now. We see that Nehemiah was called. We see that Nehemiah was just going around his own way, doing his own thing. He was working. And the reason I believe God led me to this scripture, not only is Nehemiah my favorite book in the Bible, if you know me, you probably know that. But the call of Nehemiah, I believe, fits this church. Because I want us to understand this morning that Nehemiah that God doesn't just call the drug addict. God doesn't just call the homeless person. God doesn't just call, you know, the loser on the street, if I can say that. But God also calls the professional. He also calls the people that are in business. He also calls the people that are in positions of prominence and power. He calls the people who have the access to the king and access to the keys and access to the throne. And see, I want to speak to you this morning. I want to speak to everybody. But I want us to see this morning that God doesn't just call the drug addict, that this isn't just a church of drug addicts, this isn't just a church of homeless people, this isn't just a church with rehabs or victory homes, but this is a church where people, all types of people, can come and experience the calling of God. Nehemiah received a report from Hanani, a brother, and said that the Jerusalem was lying in ruins. You see, this was the report that Nehemiah received. And in every phone call, there's always three things in every phone call. Number one, there's a report. Number two, there's the reaction. And number three, there's the response. So Nehemiah got a report that Jerusalem is lying in ruins. He got a report to say that, hey, things aren't going so well in Jerusalem. He got a report to say that the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity, they were there in Jerusalem. Nehemiah took that report and he took it personally. He received the call right there where he was working in the palace. And he received that report, and his response, his reaction to the report, was to take it into prayer. That he was not just a man who just acted recklessly or acted emotionally, but he took it into prayer to get the heart of God, to get the mind of God, to get the spirit of God, to get the wisdom of God, to get God's plan for Jerusalem. One of the things about Nehemiah is that we all know the story of Nehemiah, that he went on to rebuild the walls. But this is what I want to speak to us right here. And I want to finish up here. If the worship team can please come back this morning. When Nehemiah answered the call, he went and he spent some time in prayer. The Bible says around 4 months, he spent some time in prayer. He fasted and he prayed. And I believe this is why he fasted and prayed. I believe this is why he took on the work. It says in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 2, it says that Hananiah, one of his brothers, came with the men from Judah and asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from captivity of the province are there in great distress and reproach. The report he got wasn't looking good. The report that he got said that there was damage. There was stuff that was needing repairing. There was things that needed to be rebuilt and restored and replenished. But when you look through the report, actually there's some positives to work with there. It said that there was survivors who had escaped. Any survivors in the house this morning? You survived captivity. They survived captivity. They escaped the hand and the claws of the enemy. When Nehemiah heard that there were survivors who escaped and were already there in Jerusalem, I believe that's when he started to get excited. That he began to weigh up and say, hey, listen, I'm going to answer the call of God. And it's not about answering the call of God. It isn't about what do I gain or what do I lose. The question was, what does God want? What does God want? Because if all we ever look at is what we gain or what we lose, we'll miss the point. But Nehemiah was excited, I believe, to go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem. Why? Because there were survivors there. And there were survivors who had escaped captivity and they were there in Jerusalem. And I believe that there's something in Nehemiah that got stirred up when he heard that there were people who had been freed and people who had been released and people who were still in need of to build something for God. I believe that something got stirred in Nehemiah that he took it into prayer. Where has God called you to? What burden has God placed on your heart? What is it that God's given you? God gave me Scotland. 18 years ago when I was coming through the men's home, the Lord gave me a promise of Scotland. 18 years ago. We've been on a journey. We came here, we've been Dublin, we've been Amsterdam, we're in Frankfurt. We'll be back here again soon and then we'll be launched up into Scotland. But the reason I'm telling you this is that God gave me a promise 18 years ago. And because of that promise, I've never let it drop. I've never let it fall. Hey, maybe I've made some mistakes along the way. But I've been like Nehemiah. I know there's survivors left in Scotland. I know there's people that have been released from captivity in Scotland. I know there's people that need Scotland to be restored. They need Jerusalem to be restored. They need people to come and lead them again. Maybe if we can stand this morning, and I know this has been, we've tried to fit a lot into this message this morning, but I want us to just close our eyes for a minute. As the worship team would just make their way up, I want us just to close our eyes for a minute. And I believe there's people in this place that have received a call from God. You've heard the voice of God before. You've understood, you've felt God's presence, you've felt that leading, you've felt that prompting, maybe over a city, maybe over a nation, maybe over a country, maybe over a ministry, maybe God's calling you to a specific thing in business or maybe in an industry or technology or innovation and creativity. But God has spoke to you and God has given you a word. God has given you a word. He's placed a call upon your life. And I'm here just as a vessel this morning just to say, don't give up on that call. You may not have seen it yet. It may not have came to pass yet, but don't give up on that. If God spoke to you, don't give up on that. Because God has to take you through a process. God has to take you through a time of separation and a time of preparation in order for you to fulfill that calling. Come on, just lift your hands this morning in this place. Just lift your hands this morning and just begin to thank the Lord this morning for a God that He speaks to us. And if you know that God's called you this morning, maybe it's not came to pass yet, but I want you just to begin to say, Lord, I'm still here. Lord, I've not dropped it. I've not given up. I've not moved. I'm still here. I may have made some mistakes along the way. I may have dropped it. I may have walked away. But Lord, I'm coming back. I receive and I answer the call again upon my life. And then maybe there's some of us in here who have not quite heard the voice of God this morning. And we say, Pastor, you know what? I want to hear the voice of God. I don't have that vision. I don't have that call. I don't have that promise that you have. Then if that's you, lift up your hands as well. And just begin to ask the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me this morning. Precious Holy Spirit, speak to me and speak into my spirit a word. Speak into me a word this morning. Speak into me a word this morning.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.